drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
And we are without Amy this week, but make sure you follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And give Amy a follow as well at CFL Hottie Bowl. Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And like us on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. As always, Piffles Podcast, fueled by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies. Two locations in Regina. They deliver. Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Nice BOGO deal going on right now, so make sure you swing on by. Coming up on this week's show, we have the latest Rider and CFL news. Fine, everywhere, fine. Riders, Chris Jones, and actually the BC Lions ended up getting fined this past week, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Our Piffles player profile is actually going to join us on the phone in a little bit here. That's going to be Xavien Bingham. He was one of the standouts at Riders minicamp down in Florida last week, so we'll talk to him in a little bit. Special guest that we mentioned that we're going to have last week, Amanda Ruler. She's with the Legends Football League. She plays for the Georgia Steam. She's going to stop by in studio in a little bit. We'll have a chat with her. And we're going to continue our team-by-team previews. This week, we're going to hop over to the Eastern Division and talk about the Montreal Alouettes with Cliffy D from the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. But before we get started, we do have some sad news to talk about. Unfortunately, G-Roy Simon's wife ended up passing away this past week. Nothing has really been said about that, other than they're just asking for privacy. And I mean, way too young. She's got a couple young kids, and it's just it's a tragic story. So we here at the Piffles Podcast, we want to offer our condolences to G-Roy Simon, the Simon family, friends of the Lions and the Riders, and the organizations there. Just I know everybody's in mourning right now on that, so we just want to send out our sympathies, our thoughts and well wishes to everybody here. So unfortunately, that was a story this week, and never like hearing that. Now on to some CFL news here. We mentioned right off the top here that the Riders and Chris Jones got fined. Steve, we'll let you carry this one here for us.
Late last week, we found out that the Riders were going to be fined. There's a total of $31,500 for territorial issues and for practicing with the suspended list players. That was kind of all we were told at the time. Everybody took it to mean it was a recent experience and moved on. Wally Buono and the BC Lions were also fined for being too honest, but we'll get into that in a little bit. I decided rather than lighting my torch, I was going to ask the league and Paolo Senra and say, what were the Riders fined for? What was this specific issues that occurred? And it turned up some pretty interesting information for those that were on the Chris Jones can't learn train. So what I found out is as follows. A portion of the fines came from practicing players that were on the suspended list. Those players were Sammy Brown and Amobi Okoye. An additional portion of the fine came from a territorial violation not related to the Montreal Open tryout. The issue was actually bringing in a junior player from outside of our territory and trying him out. What we didn't know was this player was also added to our practice roster, but has since been removed due to the violation. $5,000 was also incurred due to the discussion with Johnny Manziel's publicist. With that, zero proof of a workout has been obtained by the CFL at this time. Now, as I mentioned, I asked Paolo about these fines, and the one thing that came back to me that I found most interesting was Sammy Brown was not on our roster after July the 7th of 2016. These aren't fines that occurred late in the 2016 season. These are fines from near on the beginning of the year, before Rostergate, if you want to call it that, happened. One of the questions I'm still waiting for an answer back is, why did it take this long for the CFL to come back? But more importantly, why wasn't this noticed at the beginning, and why is this just coming out now?
The only thing I would have to say is that it's getting pretty tiresome of all these fines from Chris Jones. It's been like $110,000 in fines since he's become the head coach and GM. And we heard Craig Reynolds say to some of the media here, that's simply unacceptable, and they're not happy with it. Well, clearly they are if this is continuing to happen.
But you say continuing to happen, and that's been the narrative that's come out since these fines were announced. And we have no idea why they're coming out now, when it looks to me, and again, this is me inferring based on the CFL transaction list, that these are from July of last year. To me, it feels like Chris Jones has learned his lesson, with the exception of Johnny Manziel's publicist, which...
I think that's a BS fine to begin with, because they could have been in the exact same place at the same time. Theoretically, of course, right? And they could have... They didn't even have to be talking about Johnny Manziel. They could have just been talking football or whatever, right? Just over a cup of coffee. But that's a fine? I'm sorry. I think that's a bad fine.
To me, that was... Let's just get something out of it and kind of put a stopper on the story.
I mean, ultimately, a $5,000 fine is nothing in the CFL.
And as a Rider fan, I don't care. That was Chris Jones' money. That was a direct fine to the team, so, or to the head coach.
I know, like I said, all these fines, it's getting really concerning, and it's got to stop happening, and I believe that. Like, I'm not going to say that we're Chris Jones apologists, and we defend absolutely everything we do, because we don't, but... I mean, we've backed him up on a lot of the roster moves. We see the long-term vision that he has for this team. But stuff like this, like, it's little petty things that are getting people wound up, and it's just got to stop. Like, it's just more bad PR for the team at a time when they can't afford to have bad PR. Like, yeah, we have this great shiny new stadium coming in, and that'll sell seats for the first year. But if this team sucks again, like, look what happened with Winnipeg when they opened their new stadium. Like, you know, everybody showed up for the first year, and then there was a lot of seats sitting empty for the next couple of years. And now they've turned it around with a better team. But the Riders, they don't have time to wait another couple of years. They need to start winning now. And it's troublesome to see this bad PR from a team that has never really had this kind of bad PR from the organizational side before. It's always been from you know, players before. But now it's coming from the head guy. And it's got to stop.
Chris Jones is looking like a pretty bad guy lately, but I got to say, at least the Rider, not necessarily Jones himself, but Craig Reynolds at least owned up to the fact that, you know, these rules were broken, we paid our fines, we got to move on and stop this nonsense. Steve mentioned the BC Lions were also fined, which it took a long time for that actual story to come out. But when it did... The statement that Wally Buono said, he did not acknowledge that he broke a rule. He just said that being too honest got the team in trouble. The rule they broke was that when Adam Big Hill was trying out for NFL teams, he wasn't released.
Yeah, he was still under contract with the BC Lions then, and that's a no-no.
And other teams noticed this and notified the league, why isn't he a CFL free agent? And that kind of led to Wally Buono himself getting fined $2,500. But it's like, come on. You're one of the most respected head coaches and GMs in the league. Don't pass this off as nothing, that you were being too honest. You broke a rule.
Yeah, that being too honest press statement or press release really kind of threw me for a loop. That's the wrong terminology for that. It's not that you were too honest. You cheated.
But this is what bugs me about the whole situation is nobody's saying anything about Wally Buono, because, I mean, it was the least amount of the fines handed out. It was only $2,500, which is really nothing, but there's still a rule being broken. Chris Jones does that. Oh, well, fire him. I'm sick of him. He's nothing, blah, 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 blah. And all you hear is just fire Jones. Well, why is there not a fire Wally?
And the one thing that actually out of that whole day that really kind of got under my nerves was 3Down Nation had an article about four and a half hours after the whole CFL press release with the fines was announced, and it was about the Lions portion of the fine, and even they were saying, oh, this was nothing, this is not a big deal, this is Wally being too transparent, being too honest, and then threw in a slap at Chris Jones during the article. And that's the narrative right now in the CFL, that Chris Jones is a bad guy and everybody else is just fine. And it really, that rubbed me the wrong way.
One of the other things that was announced this past week, the Riders announced their Plaza of Honor inductees for 2017, Wes Cates and Roger Brandvold. Obviously, Wes Cates, I think we can all agree, pretty consensus, that guy deserves to be in the Plaza. Look what he did in the 07 Grey Cup. He had a broken foot, ended up freezing his foot, and had some massive runs in that game, especially late in the game, to seal it. And 2008, he was arguably one of the best players in the league. Great Rider, and good to see him in the Plaza of Honor. And Roger Brandvold, he was on the board of directors, and he was a big part of getting this stadium figured out and ready to be built, and he was in the process of that, and I think he's absolutely deserving as well.
Before we get into the actual inductees, I got to say, this episode is brought to you by the letter U. We finally got the U added to the Plaza of Honor. It is no longer an American spelling, so good job. But you're right, Wes Cates, absolute beauty during his time with the Riders, and we wouldn't be where we are with the team right now. Ignore the standings and that kind of thing, but in with the new stadium and everything, without Roger Granville. So I think this was a home run for the inductee committee.
I agree. Both of them permeate the definition of Rider pride. Both very nice people. Awesome player. Awesome executive. Just a great class. Much better than last year's.
And finally, the Riders actually made some roster moves as well. They had to release some players to get down to the league mandated 75 player roster limit coming up to training camp here. So after mini camp, the Riders released defensive end Tavares Dantzler, defensive back Seth Ellis, offensive lineman Taylor Fallon, offensive lineman Kelby Johnson, running back Lyle McCombs, running back Dennis Norfleet, wide receiver Jonathan Ray, defensive back David Van Dyke, receiver Frankie Wims, and I know you're all saying, who? Exactly. Obviously, they weren't good enough to cut it in minicamp to make it to the main roster, so I wish them the best in their future endeavors. But the one that does strike me as the name that I recognize is defensive lineman Derek Lott. He was Ronnie Lott's NFL Hall of Famer, his son. So we were kind of looking at him at defensive lineman, hoping that he could push for that open defensive tackle spot, and he got cut, so... That's the only one that I actually recognized, hoping that he would turn out to be, even if he was half as good as his father, that'd be a steal for us, but I guess that's not the case.
These are basically mini camp cuts. It's a big meh to me.
But actually, one of the players that made it through mini camp is actually going to join us right now, and he's our focus of this week's Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. We're joined this week by a standout from Riders minicamp, Xavian Bingham. Xavian, thanks so much for taking our call.
It's a pleasure.
Now, first off, on behalf of Rider Nation, I suppose, welcome to Riderville. We got to ask you, what was your experience like in Florida for minicamp? What was that whole situation like?
It was rather grammatical. You know, I never been through a situation that I was in down there in Florida, like graduating college, going down my first time at a minicamp, kind of nervous. Kind of nervous a little bit, but after I got the play style in, it was all right.
Now, it was rumored that you were going to be signing in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens, but that didn't exactly happen to work out. Could you tell us exactly what happened there?
During the process, me and my agent didn't know whether I get picked up in the draft or now, or would I get picked up after the draft due to numbers that I had and film that I had coming out of college, because I went to a 2-year institute, then I transferred in to a 4-year college. And the scouts were kind of saying that I didn't have enough film. The best thing I would probably get was a rookie minicamp invite. But me and Coach Jones, now we had came to a conclusion where if I had to get some out of the draft or after the draft, I would get released and be able to play and see how that goes. And if it didn't work out, I'd be able to come back. But what had happened was that when it was time for the Ravens to bring me in, assignment, whatever, I couldn't get in. Well, I couldn't really get in touch with them at the time. And it was the Ravens like, well, we already found another guy, so it was basically too late. But, I mean, I'm not complaining about it. Coach Allen's a great guy. I'm ready to come to Riderville and just, you know, do what I love to do.
Now, I'm not exactly sure if you've been told what Riderville is like, but basically picture a college atmosphere where people here live and die with the Rough Riders. And we're a pretty small place, all things considered, and we kind of call it a fishbowl, as it were. Is that the kind of scenario or situation that you can thrive in?
Oh, yes, sir, for sure. I can adjust to any atmosphere, so I'm not worried about that. I'm ready to come to play football and win some games, possibly get the Great Cup, get me a ring.
So we still have to go through the main training camp and the preseason games. What type of talents do you have that you can show in training camp and the preseason games to secure a spot on the team?
I'm going to show physicality, aggressive, speed for the position. I'm very explosive. Refuse to be blocked on the edge. I'm setting the edge real good and play great man-to-man.
Now, just reading through your timeline on Twitter, you seem pretty focused on just playing football and you want to win. What goals do you have this season to consider your season a success?
Well, I plan to come in, like me and Coach John talked about. I'm working hard to become Rookie of the Year, CFL All-Star. Just basically just really, I'm really just basing on, I'm like a team player, so whatever, you know, whatever it takes to win with my team, you know. At the end of the day, stats don't matter, so, I mean, you know, whatever fits the team, I'm down with it.
So, outside of football, what is Xavien like? What would you like the fans in Saskatchewan to know about you?
I'm kind of like an easygoing guy. I like to fish and hunt, but I don't know if that's available in Saskatchewan, but I'm like a country style guy, southern guy.
Oh, you'll find that here, I promise you that. All right, Xavien, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing you in training camp and in the preseason games in just over a month.
All right, thank you so much.
That was Riders defensive back Xavien Bingham, a standout from minicamp, who will be on his way to training camp here in late May and into June. So we look forward to seeing them there. Let's switch our focus here and continue on with our team previews. Last week, we got started with the BC Lions, and this week, we go all the way across the other side of the country to take a look at the Montreal Alouettes. Joining us right now is Cliffy D from the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. Cliff, always great to have you on.
Always great to be on with you guys.
So, Cliff, obviously, with the Alouettes' moves this offseason, they weren't happy with where they were at. Gavis Reid was brought in, and he clearly wants to win now. Durant, Shulgin, Ernest Jackson, all brought in. What's the vibe in Montreal right now surrounding the team?
Well, if you were to talk to some of the fans, there's actually a lot of anger, believe it or not. I mean, yeah, making moves is always fun and exciting, but a lot of fan favorites are kind of being shown the door, and much to the dismay of a lot of Alouettes fans, they're pretty upset because, again, you get attached to certain players, and while, yeah, you want to win now, I guess a lot of fans are pretty upset at the idea of a lot of guys like S.J. Green, Alan Michael Cash, Jeff Parrott before he took his retirement. A lot of these guys were just sort of shown the door, so to speak, whether via trade or not signing them in free agency or what have you. So it's been a weird vibe. Like, just talking with a lot of folks on social media and whatnot, it seems like a lot of people are really upset. Like, they're happy that the Alouettes are making moves and it looks like they're trying to be competitive. But I get the vibe from a lot of folks that they're just really upset because their fan favorites are gone now. So it's a bit of a weird dichotomy, if you will. I mean, I personally, I'm very excited with moves that have been made so far. And yeah, I'm sad to see certain players go, but I mean, that's football. I mean, you can't keep people year after year after year. It's just not feasible anymore.
That sounds oddly familiar.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds exactly like the Riders circa 2016. And we were in the same boat. We were okay with most of the moves, but the fan, you know, the fan nature, not so much.
Well, and I think back, Darien Durant, I mean, that's a Rider legend. I have to say that now because last time I was on with you guys, I kind of got some grief for not referring to Darien as a Rider legend. And again, he is a legend no matter what. So I can understand the upset and anger from Rider fans about having doubles leave and end up in Montreal. So I get that fan angst to a degree, but at the same time, you got to think about the future. And I think Montreal was thinking about the future in a sense of getting Darien so that everything is stabilized at quarterback for now and hopefully develop Vernon Adams to be the starter in, say, 2-3 years. Whereas now you guys have, you've got Brandon Bridge, you've got Vince Young. I mean, that's got to be good, right?
We're hoping so because he's going to be our game one starter. Now, Cliff, of all the offseason moves done by the Als, which one is your favorite? And which one is the most underrated move for the team?
That would be one and the same, actually. The move that I really, really like, and I think it's very underrated, is the adding of Devin Bailey from the Edmonton Eskimos to Montreal. I really think Montreal is very, very thin at national receiver. And having this tall, lanky Canadian on board, I'm very excited to see what he can do. I mean, again, for all the fans that are upset about S.J. Green leaving, and believe me, I'm upset too because I was a huge S.J. Green fan and still am, to be honest with you. But I look at Devin Bailey and I think with just the right bit of seasoning, this guy could step into S.J.'s role and really be a superstar. I mean, having a Darien Durant throw to you and having a big, tall receiver like that catch the ball, that I think that's one of those moves that people are just kind of sweeping under the rug right now because unfortunately his signing happened on the same day where SJ got traded to Toronto. So I can understand why a lot of people are just may not really be paying attention to that. And in a way that's kind of good because I'm hoping that fans will sit up and take notice when this kid gets onto the field because I'm very high on him. I really think that he can really be something special in Montreal.
Now, kind of a follow-up on the receivers there. Durant, he's always shown that it takes time for him to gel with receivers. Last year, I think, was kind of an anomaly in the sense that he had no choice because they were all brand-new receivers to him last year. Again, this year, he's going to a new set of receivers. Do you see Durant taking a while to get used to the Montreal offense and getting used to those receivers?
I've no doubt it's going to take time for him. I think it would take time for any decent quarterback to really truly gel with his receivers. I think what helps though is that there's a good balance of veteran presence as well as I think potential superstar power. I mean, he's going to have Nick Lewis to throw to. He's got Sam Shiger to throw the ball to. Now with the addition of Bailey, I mean, like, you got some good honest talent right there. And again, BJ Cunningham, mark my words, I think this is the year he really steps up and becomes a superstar in the Canadian Football League. I think both he and Durant are going to have a great connection. I really think that these two are going to develop that chemistry. And it may take a little while because, again, it's a whole new system. I mean, Durant is familiar with Jacques Chapdelaine as a OC. So I think there's going to be a good balance right there. But I'm really excited to see what Darien can do in Montreal with these receivers. And see where this goes.
So the overall opinion that I've kind of seen is that the SJ Green trade has been basically a salary dump. What are your thoughts on the trade?
Well, there's a lot of people that feel that way too, and I'd be inclined to agree with it if it wasn't for the fact that last week they did publish the cap numbers, but they did publish a report that all nine teams were under the salary cap. So I really think it came down more for Kavis when it came to the decision of getting rid of SJ Green. It was really coming down to just that non-confidence, if you will, of SJ being able to perform the way that he used to. I think that was more the factor than his salary. I mean, yes, SJ was making a good bit of coin for the Alouettes, but at the same time, I'm thinking more, if there was no injury, I don't think it wouldn't even be an issue. So I really don't think it had anything to do with that, to be honest with you. I really think it really came down to the injury situation and can SJ recover. Like I said, I really hope he does. I really hope he does find a role in Toronto, and of course I wish him all the best, but I really think Kavis was thinking about the future and thinking more youth movement, and if you can find that other diamond in the rough, find the next SJ, if you will. I think that's pretty much what Kavis is thinking more than anything else.
The Alouettes revealed a new ticket promo this week. It was kind of worded a bit funny, but it was something about buy a ticket for $80 or so, and then you basically lock into that seat until the team gets three wins. It's either three wins total or three wins at home. It wasn't really clear in the release that I saw, but what are your thoughts on the promo like that?
Well, you got to try something, right? I mean, the days of Montreal Alouettes completely selling out Pearson Molson Stadium, they're long gone. And the only way you're going to get fans back in the seats is winning football games. So, I mean, kudos to them for trying something different. I mean, it's thinking outside the box a little bit, which I like. But at the end of the day, as long as they put together winning football, fans will come back, fans will pack the stadium. And I don't know. I can sort of see why this would be kind of funny, because a lot of people are just thinking, oh, hey, maybe I can, in theory, get season tickets for $80 as a result of this promo. And maybe 2 years ago I would have looked at it that way, but I got a feeling that this is the kind of promo that, yeah, it's going to get people talking and maybe even snickering a little bit. But at the end of the day, if Montreal puts together winning football, fans will come regardless of the tickets.
At least you didn't put "they bang" together, so that's all right.
Now you mentioned winning football, and got a question for you here. Owls missed the playoffs by a tie break last year, missed out on first place in the East by only a game and a half. Where do you see your Montreal Alouettes finishing in 2017?
They're going to be a lot more competitive, and it'd be easy for me to say, yeah, they're going to be number one, but I honestly think it's going to be a real dogfight between Montreal and Ottawa for like first and second, just because Toronto will be much better. I think with their situation, they can't get any worse, but there's still a good while away with even with Jim Popp and Mark Trestman there, I still think Toronto still has a ways to go as far as fielding a competitive team. And Hamilton, well, they pretty much live and die by Zach Collaros. If Zach Collaros is healthy, then yeah, Hamilton's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if he still can't find his form again, like he was struggling with last year, then Hamilton's going to be in pretty tough as well. So I really truly think Ottawa and Montreal are going to be very competitive this year, and I really think that based on all that, I think Montreal, I think they've gotten their act together. I think the circus is finally out of town in Montreal, and I really think the Alouettes are going to be very much playoff bound.
Cliff, where can people hear more about the Alouettes?
Well, if you like reading, you can head over and check out the blog over at www.alsternative.com. And if you'd rather listen to us, you can head on over to the Alouette Flight Deck, which is over on Podbean, Google Play Music, and on iTunes as well. We should hopefully be getting a couple new episodes out fairly soon. My co-host, Tim, he's very big into the Arena League, so he's been kind of busy with that. But we're talking, and we definitely want to get something going for the Alouettes fans before training camp starts, for sure, and talk about a few other things as well, especially with, it's been a pretty good offseason for us, all things considered. So the board knows we've got more than enough stuff to talk about. It's just a matter of sitting down and firing up the mic.
It's been quite the offseason. Cliff, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, and best of luck to you guys as well.
You as well. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks again, Cliff. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter at PifflesPod. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, just facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. As we mentioned last show, we said we'd be joined by a special guest, and this is something we've been looking forward to all week. With us on the Piffles Podcast this week is Amanda Ruler. For those who don't know Amanda, she's a running back for the Georgia Steam of the Legends Football League. She's from here in Regina, and she's with us in studio. Amanda, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, our absolute pleasure.
Yay.
So for those that don't really know about you, you're quite active on social media. You're on Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. And you post videos of your workouts, meal plans, all that kind of stuff. What made you want to start posting these videos, and what drives you to keep doing them?
Well, social media is a huge market now, especially in 2017. And you can just show people what you're doing, and then they'll believe in you. I have an online business where I show people my workouts, my meal plans, what I'm doing. They want to be just like me. So they're like, how can I do that, Amanda? So if they see my video, they try to imitate that, or, you know, Olympic lift like I do, or play football like I do, or eat the meals that I do. And it's really flattering for people going, wow, I tried that workout. It was so much fun. Or I made those Brussels sprouts the other day. They actually tasted really good. I have a good recipe. I saw your face.
Brussels sprouts, no thanks.
Yeah. But there's a huge market for it now. And I think a lot of people that are older don't understand it. Like my mom doesn't know. How do you get paid to post on Instagram? I'm like, Mom, it's huge right now. All the millennials are looking to that source of entertainment or for actual information. And it's huge right now. So that keeps me motivated. Because people want to see it. People are commenting. You get a lot of feedback. So, yeah. Right.
So we got a two-part question for you. Okay. First off, how did you get into football? And can you tell us something about the LFL that our listeners might not know about it?
Of course. Actually, I was in a bar in Calgary, and I saw the Legends Football League. It was called the Lingerie Football League at the time, being played on TV. And I commented to some guy. I was like, wow, that looks so cool. Like, those girls look badass. And the guy was like, that's embarrassing. Like, they're playing in their underwear. And secretly, I was like, wow, I wish I was them. So I went online and I honestly looked up where I'd want to play. And there was a team in LA at the time. So I drove my car from Calgary to LA. And I did one of the open tryouts because it happened to be within the next couple weeks. It took me 5 days and I went by myself. Just traveled all the way down there. Did the open tryout. And they said I was too short to play, because the girls are really tall, but they were so blown away by my 40, because they made me run it twice, because I ran so fast. I ran like a 4.75, and they're like, no way, run it again. So I did, I ran the same time. They're like, okay, well, would you just want to come to practice? And I'm like, yeah, I'll come to the practices. And then I ended up, you know, starting that season. So I just wouldn't take no for an answer. I really wanted that dream to come true. So I think if people don't know about the league, is that we actually tackle really hard. I get that question quite a bit. They're like, oh, do you actually tackle in your league? I'm like, it's pretty cool. Like, I've actually got arm barred by one girl. I was coming around. Someone forgot to block for me. And boom, I got hit in the face. I went head over heels. It was a TSN turning point. That is my claim to fame. Well, actually, I have another claim to fame, but I'll tell you about that later.
Now, with the LFL, you mentioned that it used to be the Lingerie Football League. Yeah. And that kind of brings me to my question here. Do you get comments about, okay, well, that, you know, you're only there because you're pretty, you're in your underwear, like that's the only reason why you're there, but it takes, like, because that takes away from the actual like skills of the game of football and the training that you do. So what do you, like, do you still get comments on that?
You know what? Not anymore. When I first started, it was so common for girls or guys to mention, oh, like, you're playing in your underwear, don't you feel, like, embarrassed? I'm like, have you ever come to a game? Once they come to a game, they see how hard we hit, how fast we run. We know all the plays. We know positioning. They start to realize, wow, you guys actually know everything about football. The uniforms, they don't see them anymore. I get that often, especially we do autograph sessions after our games and stuff, and people are, like, bringing their little baby daughters, and they're like, I just want to be like you. I want to be as fast as you. And that melts my heart. And once you see that, it takes away the uniform and what you're wearing. And I actually feel pretty badass. It's kind of like you put on a costume. You know, when you go out for Halloween, you put on a costume, you feel invincible. That's how I feel going out in the field. And people see my speed. That's the first thing they see. So they don't even see, like, what I'm wearing anymore. So I rarely get comments about, like, oh, don't you hate what you wear? They're like, wow, you're so fast, and you're a great running back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned another claim to fame, and this might be this. You kind of lived out my childhood dream. Once upon a time, you were on The Price is Right and won a car. First of all, how did you get on the show? How did that experience happen? And what was it like to actually win the car?
Yes, that's what I definitely was talking about, because there's not a lot of people in Canada that get to even be on The Price is Right. So I was in LA at the time, and I got tickets, like, online for another show. I think I was waiting in line for, like, Ellen. They sold out. So they bumped me free Price is Right tickets. So I was like, okay. So I took a couple friends that morning, and we went, and I was waiting in line, and people kept walking up to me. They're like, I think you're going to get picked. Like, all day I was giving these little signals, like, I think you're going to get picked to go up there. And I was the last person to get picked of, when they call, like, five people up, I was the last one of the five. And they're like, Amanda Ruler, come on down. And I start running down. I start jumping up, just praising the Lord I was up there. And I was, like, the first girl to ever, like, flex. I, like, flexed on The Price is Right. And that was, like, the screenshot of the whole episode when it finally aired on TV. It's when you click on the episode, there's a picture of me doing this. So it was right awesome. On. The feeling, I finally got up there, and I had played high-low. So I had to roll the dice and guess higher or lower. And when he said I won the car, I exploded, and I jumped on him by accident. And he just had neck surgery, like, the week before. And they warned us. They said, do not touch him. Of course, I jumped on his neck. And he's like, oh, my neck. So they had to edit it out of the, the episode, which was super funny, because I was probably the only one that, well, the audience, me and the audience were the only people that knew that. And then it was a feeling, like, unlike any other. I was just so happy in that moment. If you see, sometimes, like, I'll post on Instagram, like, the replay of it, and just, like, run into the girl that's holding, like, you won the car. I'm like, yay! Just jumping up and down, so.
Cool.
Almost like a touchdown dance.
Yeah, pretty much,
yeah.
So, speaking of flexing, one of the other sports that you're involved in is weightlifting. How's that going for you?
It's going really great. I just started doing Olympic lifting, and I'm in the 58 kg category, which is so fun. That involves snatch and clean and jerk. So basically taking the weight, putting it above your head, and showing everyone how strong you are. So with that, I only started about 6 months ago, and I've only had three competitions, and I already am placed second in Saskatchewan. So I'm excited about that. Oh, and Western Saskatchewan. I got to do Westerns, and I placed second there as well. So it's awesome. It's super fun.
That's awesome. One last question here for you. So we're actually all on a flag football team, and we've made the finals the last 2 years in a row, but we've lost both times. How can out-of-shape losers like us get over that hump and bring home the championship?
Definitely, maybe if you guys, like, get some LFL uniforms and put them on, I feel like the other team will be so distracted by your uniforms, they might, you know, you could fumble the ball from them. And you could win. You could win this tournament. Or if you get me to play, huh? Did you think about that?
We didn't, but if you're available.
Is it co-ed?
Oh, yeah.
It is co-ed. Oh, heck yeah. I'm coming to play.
Sunday evenings.
So we found our ringer.
There we go. Yeah, sorry. Get yourself a ringer first. If you've seen that movie, it works. Yeah, that's right. invite the team, the other team out for beers before the game, buy them a whole bunch of beer, and then play against them.
Well, yeah, I will say this, that your first option of us in lingerie, there's nobody alive that wants to see that. I think that's a bad idea.
No, I disagree. I think people want to see that, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I'd come to that game. I would love to see that.
Told you.
Fair enough. I stand corrected.
Yes.
Now, Amanda, where can people find your videos, your Snapchat, all that stuff? Give us the information.
Excellent. So excited for this question. You guys can find me on Instagram at Amanda Ruler. You guys can snap me anytime. I'm always snapping people, talking about weird things and my cats at RULLER, number 2 in the letter A. You guys can find me on my website, www.amandabolic.com. Check me out.
Awesome. Amanda, thanks for joining us in studio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Amanda Ruler joining us here on the Piffles Podcast. Make sure you check her out on YouTube, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all that stuff. Just search Amanda Bolick, Amanda Ruler. She's there. Not hard to find. Trust me, you'll see her. Some great motivation. And if you like food, you're going to want to see her videos for sure. And that's going to lead us into our final segment of the show. Time to find out who this week's good guy of the week is.
Tell me something good.
Now, my good guy of the week actually goes out to an organization, and as a Rider fan, it hurts a little bit to say this, but good guy of the week is the Edmonton Eskimos, and it all comes back to that commercial that they released earlier today, the One Empire slogan and the video. They had a bunch of fans come out. It was really well done. Great push for the league, or for the Eskimos, but great for the league, so they get two thumbs up from me.
I think a lot of the smaller market teams should do something like that just to get some of their diehard fans out there, and then, you know, the casuals see that and say, hey, that could have been me. And
you know what that does? That's going to sell merchandise. Yep. There's nothing wrong with selling merchandise.
Yeah, they're selling shirts now with the One Empire slogan.
I saw those shirts. Those are actually kind of cool. If the Riders had something like that, I would totally get one.
If the Riders did a commercial like that, I would be so in. Yeah. I'd take time off work for that.
So if you're listening out there, Riders, there you go. Free advertising right there. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Next week's show, we're going to have the latest Rider news. We're going to recap the CFL draft, which actually goes this Sunday at 5 p.m. on TSN. So make sure you're checking that out. We're going to find out who the next wave of Rider Canadians are. We're also going to take a look at the Edmonton Eskimos. We're going to preview them. We're going to talk to the Edmonton Eskimos empire there. We'll have a player profile. And if we have a rant, we'll bring one up, and we'll just see what else happens in the next week. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And Amy is at CFL Hottie Bowl. Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And make sure you join our CFL Pick'em group for your chance to embarrass us, win some cool prizes. We'll tweet out the link as well, so make sure, and it'll be on Facebook as well. So make sure you're following us. We'll get you the link. Win some swag. Nothing wrong with that. And as always, this has been the Piffles Podcast, brought to you by the best poutine in the prairies, Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Thanks for listening.